I know.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to episode number 26 of the Look Mum, I'm a Hustling podcast. Thank you guys for tuning back in, listening and watching to the show. Happy to be here.
Yeah, super happy to be here. Today, we've got another review-style episode that we have going on.
Yep.
The last one that we did was your...
This is your mind on plants. You can't screw it up again.
No, we can't. Yeah, and that one was just... Yeah, having these plant-like substances that really affect your brain, and it sort of segued into us reading this book.
That wasn't intentional. I didn't realize how easy or clean of a segue that is, but yeah.
It's because it's very similar, because the book that we ended up doing was Dopamine Nation.
By Anna Lemke.
Yeah, yep. Which is a really, really interesting read, especially just around the aspects of like dopamine and how important or like how prevalent it is in like everyday life. Like it's all around you. Yeah, I just never knew so much about what dopamine does to the body.
It's one of those chemicals you hear about all the time, serotonin, and they're all like different types of neurotransmitters, but they're easy to get confused with one another unless you're like pretty into it.
Yeah.
So like you hear dopamine all the time, you're like, oh, it's got something to do with the brain. It does something. Is it, you don't know what it's really doing and what its main function is. So that's basically what this book is going into, dopamine and why everyone's addicted to different things, and basically the function of dopamine and how you can become addicted.
Yeah. And I never realized, I always associated dopamine with like a positive aspect. You know, you'd get it from exercising or like from doing something good, but I didn't realize it also is in like the pain area of the brain as well, which was really interesting. I didn't realize it. Yeah, it's like a reward system for both good and bad within the brain, which is super strange.
Yeah, so the pain and pleasure scale, like, are sort of on the same spectrum, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, the dopamine controls both aspects and they're heavily linked. Basically, the way they sum it up in the book, and she's done a number of different podcasts explaining the book in way more depth, is you can think of pain and pleasure as like a seesaw, basically.
Yeah, like it's all about the balance, right?
Yeah, so anything in the body, like I've done science at university, I've got a degree and stuff, but day by day, it feels like I'm forgetting more and more. So it's these science-based books are good to get my
good refresher
brain going
on
again.
Yeah, because you just said I did science and stuff.
Yeah, well, I did. I did science at school
and stuff.
University.
But yeah, it was just...
I had a point to say after that and I've completely ruined it.
No, you're talking about the balance between...
So the body wants to be in homeostasis for everything. Water balance, salinity, different vitamins and minerals in cells and stuff like that. It wants to be in balance all the time. It doesn't want to be too swayed to one side. It wants to come back to a neutral zone. So anything that gives you heaps of pleasure, there's going to be basically a reaction to that, and it's going to be... balance the other side eventually to more of a pain spectrum.
Right.
So that's what the book's sort of all about, the balance of pain and pleasure and how addiction
plays a part. Yeah. And it's one of those things where your body is meant to like automatically create that balance between pain and pleasure, but like in this day and age, and it's also a secondary title to the book called The Age of Indulgence, where we are just bombarded with so much extra stuff that enables us to have that like pleasure function compared to maybe like 20 years ago when you didn't have as much around you.
Yeah.
So it was more balanced out.
It's purely just so much stimulation these days, but overwhelmed with like podcasts is one thing. Like you're overwhelmed with content in that form, digital form, news, like everything's brighter, everything's shinier, everything's more exciting. And that is just it just releases that dopamine in that brain. Much like you win at a pokies or something, you get that big adrenaline, that sort of dopamine rush rather. But the whole of society feels like it's just feeding you that the whole time. So it's like, what impact is that going to have? Because I feel like our entire existence is just pure pleasure. I'm thinking about Archie out there.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't really encounter any pain. Like he might be a bit itchy here and there, but for the most part, he's always warm. He's always comfortable. He's getting his food. He's always... Like, he's never, like, in danger unless he's, like, a big bully dog at the park.
Yeah.
But, like, our entire existence, humans, obviously, is what I'm talking about, but it just feels like everything's pleasure-based. There's no pain in life.
Yeah, the suffering to sort of balance it out because, you know, we do have a roof over our heads. We, eat food on a regular basis. We're lucky that we have an income coming in. So, like, where does the balance with that pain come in? Does it just, you know, is it a natural... sort of aspects. So whether we're working out, then you sort of have the sore muscles, and is that your body sort of balancing itself out?
That's
in a way?
That's what I was going to say. Like I got a few notes I took about the book, just sort of like points to cover, and one of them was like pain versus pleasure. Like, should we pursue pain more to enjoy pleasure more?
Yeah.
Like, I think an example in the book is having cold showers. I know a lot of like high level athletes will have ice baths or like cold showers every morning to sort of shock the system into like waking up, and you get a huge dump of endorphins and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then because of that pain and discomfort, you sort of have like a pleasurable experience afterwards. It might not be like a pleasure, like I'm going to smile sort of pleasure, but it's like your body is rewarded in a sense and gets pleasure that way.
Yeah, 100%. So that means, so with that pain, your body is releasing that dopamine, which is saying, yes, keep doing it in a way. So even if something might be good for you that creates pain, you can still get addicted to it, and then it's going to be bad for you in the long run.
Yeah, it's sort of like the second something stops, the other counterbalance wants to come into play. Like an example I use in the book is like having chocolate, like that's a pleasure. And then as soon as you finish eating that chocolate, you want more. That's not necessarily like pain as we normally sort of consider it, but it's like pain in the sense of your body is like trying to create some sort of like balance. It wants to like come back to the other side. It's like too much pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a little pain. And then you want to overcome that pain
by
or that discomfort by eating more.
Yeah.
But it can be the same the other way, like having a uncomfortable shower, like really cold shower. As soon as you get out, you're like back warm and comfortable. So it's like immediately flicks back the other way almost.
Yeah, definitely really interesting the way they talk about it. And it could be the same to say, and we've talked about it before, is like our coffee addiction.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those things. We're just feeding that endless cycle. So now that when we drink coffee, most of the time it's just to like wake ourselves up to get that kick, not really for that, you know, enjoyable taste anymore. Like you do get it every now and then with like a really nice cup of coffee, or if you haven't had one for a while. Yeah. But most of the time, it's just that jump start in the morning.
It's like having that 3 o'clock coffee that, you know, as soon as I have one, it's going to be bad for me. But I have it. I have it anyway. That 11 o'clock coffee is worn off, and you need the afternoon one.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. You sort of feel that the pleasure aspect wearing off, and you want to just re-up and get some more of it. And that's just how like addiction works, basically, right?
Yeah, and that's what Dr. Anna Lemke.
Mm-hmm.
She's an addiction specialist, so that's what she focuses on. That's what her book has, a lot of stories about people that have different types of addiction. So you have, you know, the drugs addictions or sex addiction, work addiction. She even uses her simple her own personal story with like romance novels and things like that, like just needing that next hit or that next high, and then all of a sudden it doesn't work for you anymore. So you build up that tolerance and you have to try and overconsume.
Yeah.
But then that overconsuming becomes a detriment to you.
Yeah. And what's she addicted to? Like teen vampire romance novels.
Yeah, the classic Twilight Saga was what sort of hooked her in, and she read it 4 times and then, went into like other sort of romance stories and
she
was staying up late.
Just reading anything under that that category, right?
Like, yeah, 100%, because that was like her only way, or that's what she told herself. It was her only way to be able to wind herself down. But then she ended up finding out she was like sneaking in, trying to read, not spending enough time with her family. So it ended up becoming like an addiction that was a bad thing rather than her escapism or her way to like chill out or relax.
Far.
Yeah, exactly. It went too far the other way.
Hmm. It's a tricky thing because addiction can be so many different things. We're all addicted to devices and consuming content, whether it's Netflix or books or blog posts or whatever. There's just too much stuff out there to not ignore it. You're going to consume most of it, right?
Yeah. Even something is like food. Like no matter where you go, you're overstimulated by just whether it's, something as simple as Instagram. Like the social dilemma, that was a really interesting thing of like people being rewarded with the like function and trying to get all those likes and just being addicted in that way.
And then the second you have the next post that doesn't have as many likes, you're straight into the pain bracket, and you want to figure out how to overcome that.
Exactly.
Endless cycle, right?
Yeah.
So is it about like trying to not go too far to one side and just trying to keep it sort of steady both sides, like a little bit of pain, a little bit of pleasure, not bombarded with pleasure, because there's going to be a downside to it most of the time, or all the time, I'd imagine.
Yeah. And you do have... And it's one of those things. So with addiction, it just means, or doesn't mean, but obviously, I'm not an expert. You have an unbalance in the brain, whereas some people can balance it out just naturally themselves. They don't get, you know, be someone who can go to the pokies just every now and then with some mates. Like when they go to the pubs, you put in $20 here and there and then just can leave.
Mm.
Versus the people that have to go there every single day, put in, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars, they can't. Like they're, it's just one of those things. You got different types of people can balance it out, but obviously like too much of it, I guess it, that where that saying comes from, too much of a good thing is bad for you.
Yeah. Another thing I wanted to talk about, like, is scarcity versus abundance mindset, like, I think plays a big role. Like, your perception of what is abundant in the world and what is scarce plays a role into, like, what is going to give you more pleasure and more pain and why people get addicted to things. Like, if there's a scarcity mindset and you think something's scarce, whether it's a drug or something else, you're going to
try and buy it up, get more and more.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just an interesting thought I had as well. But it's like with all the Twilight books and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She read hundreds, right?
Yeah. Like just kept going until she had to lock her Kindle device away. Like she had to actually lock it away to stop her from reading it anymore. And that's what some people do. They practice, I think it's called like self-restraint or self-like tying. So you just stop yourself from, you know, being able to access that thing that gives you that pain, pleasure.
Well, usually you have to have someone else like step in. It's classic like alcoholic AA story where you have to have the partner or someone lock the booze away for you.
Yeah. And she did actually reference AA quite a bit. I think mainly because she is an addiction specialist. She mainly focuses in opioids and
like weird sex addictions and stuff like that.
There was some
weird sex stuff in the book. So if you're going to read it, be prepared. It starts very early.
Not safe for work. No. What was I going? But anyway, she was with the addiction aspect, and that's what she sort of specialized in. So she did reference AA quite a bit and just with their 12-step programs. And she was saying that some people then get addicted to the 12 steps until the, you know, the AA meetings. And some people were saying it was like a cult-like thing, but isn't that better than being addicted to alcohol or, you know, substances that, you know, are harmful to yourself and to the people around you?
So being you can be addicted to not necessarily the right things, but things that have a less like a harm reduction approach.
Yeah,
so
100%.
Less harm. So like an article I sent you in regards to this topic was like thrifting and clothing and fashion. Like there's a huge sort of intersection there with dopamine and the way things are, like we perceive pleasure. Like shopping is like one of the biggest ways.
Oh, huge.
Maybe for females, I feel like men probably do drugs and alcohol more and women maybe get addicted to maybe shopping more. That's just a broad perception, maybe a generalization, but it can become very addictive and it's, the pleasure's over very fast. You can get buyer's remorse instantly from anything.
Yeah.
So that's something that's was touched on in that article that I sent you with thrifting. You can still get that dopamine hit of, because dopamine's basically your body's preparing itself for a potential reward.
Yeah.
So it's just the hunt. It's what we do. We thrift for clothes and items and stuff. It's the potential reward is there and the dopamine's about to drop.
Yeah.
So you can have the shopping addiction but at a much less financial cost. If you were a thrifter, for example, and people were watching like a lot of thrifting stuff during lockdown because they couldn't go out and shop. It was just like a voyeuristic way of them to get their addiction and their rush of thrifting or trying to find something and then that big reward.
Yeah, and That's so true, because when we go out thrifting and we find that amazing item, like you just have that rush, you're on a high.
It can wear off fast.
Yeah, exactly, because you might just go to three stores and get nothing and then it just like, puts you in a bit of a mood. You're like, I just want to go home.
It's
like
a chocolate thing. As soon as it's like the thrill's gone, you've finished the piece of chocolate or put the clothing in your basket, then straight away you're like, I need another one. The good thing with us is that we try and flip the items for profit. We don't get stuck with them all. I imagine that's how hoarders sort of get their addiction started. You know, they need to buy things or they go to the markets and just start spending $5, $10 here and it just becomes a habit. A lot of the times it's like to replace something else in their life. Maybe they're grieving from a loss of a loved one or something and they need to fill up with something else like that. But it's about trying to, I guess, just be aware of the balance that you need to play. Like, for example, if we go thrifting all the time, like, I will admit, like, I get frustrated all the time if had a couple of good shops and then you just can't get anything after that for, like, hours and hours. It's about preparing yourself mentally for the balance and, you know that there's going to be a painful experience coming or a bit of a low. It might be another day, might be another hour, might be another week before you find something insanely good to give you that rush. But the thing is also, you don't know how big the rush is going to get. So, like, you might get one that will last 3 hours if you get a really crazy item, or one that might last 10 minutes. So it's about, I guess, just being aware as it's sort of happening in the moment that there's, you know, the reaction is about to happen. You're going to have a painful experience and have that void instantly almost.
Yeah, definitely. And it's, they call it retail therapy for a reason. Like, that's people true. Go out and to feel that something, or yeah, they're just not having the best day, so they need something else that will help them out. But again, when it comes to like us, like flipping those items, it's almost getting that second high. So yes, we find something good, yep, then we put in the hard work and whether we have to clean it up, put the time into like take photos, things like that. And then when it sells, you get that second high of like almost like a pat on the back, like good job done. Like you found something good and you're able to flip it for a profit.
Yeah. But then you got to think, I think it's about thinking about what the pain's going to be after the fact. Mm. I think that might be the key. Like after you get the sale of $80,
mm-hmm,
and then you post it, then what happens? You're like, wait, where's my other $80 sale?
Yeah.
Like, I need to like either try and like move some, like run a sale or move some items, or I have to go and find something else that I can flip for $80.
So almost trying to live up to the expectations of the next bigger, better thing.
You're only as good as your last game, or whatever the saying is. You're as good as your last movie.
But that is like it's very like addictive sort of thing, because you just want to get, you want to just do more and more and more to be able to retain that high that you had.
Mm.
Yeah. Far out. Like this, and this book, it just goes into heaps of these different aspects. So she does touch on this guy that would order all these packages from Amazon, and just all they wanted was that high of just like unboxing.
Mm.
And then they would end up returning it the next day. And then all of a sudden it started to get like too much out of control, and the only thing they could afford was like $2 items to be able to just unbox. Like it got that extreme.
Yeah. And this is like just purely, it all comes down to addictive habits. Like you can go on and on about drugs and alcohol and addictive traits and, you know, all that sort of stuff. But I think it's more of an interesting conversation to stick on like everyday type things like food or entertainment or clothes. Like drugs, everyone knows you can get addicted. There's a million podcasts or movies or documentaries you can watch about that. But
yeah,
I like thinking about it in everyday terms. Like what are we addicted to? And like, how can we catch ourselves from becoming addicted to other things in the future? Because you might not think of it as an addiction, but it's all subjective. It's all on a scale. Someone might drink no coffee. Someone might drink 8 coffees a day. Mm-hmm. They're going to have different effects and perceive them differently. So yeah, it's about balance, and it's about like trying to understand where you are on the scale and making sure you're not going to fall off the edge of it.
Yeah, and that's what she asks her patients who come in, because they're either at that point where they're thinking about making a change or need to make a change. And then those that are thinking about making a change, she asks them, oh, you know, do you see yourself, whether it's something like, I don't know, like smoking weed or whatever, it's like, do you see yourself like in 30 years' time? They're like, oh, nah. Do you see yourself in 10 years' time? They're like, oh, nah. It's like, do you see yourself in like 2 years' time? And they're like, nah. And then like, I see where you're going with this. Like, if I don't expect to be doing this in 2 years' time,
yeah,
why don't I just stop now?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Like, obviously, she has heaps of different steps to be able to get to that point to help her patients, like, create those good long-term healthy habits.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, yeah, really interesting asking those questions, because you don't expect yourself to be in that position in 10 years' time, but then all of a sudden 10 years pass and you're there.
Mm-hmm. You could still be reading your romance novels. Do you still read those?
No, not too much.
Would you say that was an addiction, or was that just like a time filler?
After listening to her, I think it definitely was a bit of both. Like it was I used it just to sort of chill out after work, or if I had a tough day, because like reading, like I love reading in general. Like I love the escapism of it. It was just something that helped me, yeah, calm down after a, you know, tough day. Then I ended up just staying up way too late and just being tired. So I ended up, and I thought I just couldn't sleep. It wasn't until I started, you know, doing the proper things of like breathing exercises and things like that, that I realized that, yeah, I was just like reading to get to the next chapter to find out the most interesting thing. But yeah, it got to a point where it was, I thought I couldn't sleep and it was just me affecting my own sleep in a way.
I don't think I've only had anything like that, to be honest. Like, there's nothing, I feel like I just move from interest to interest, hobby to hobby quite frequently, so I don't get like too stuck. I feel like I get addicted in the short term on a particular topic or area, but I don't know.
Yeah, you two tend to like deep dive on things.
Too much ADHD.
Maybe
like
a little bit.
3 month span of focusing on something that I'm on to the next one.
Yeah.
Maybe we should do an experiment on the other channel to do like just maybe what we can get addicted to or who can get addicted first.
Or should we have a look at our lives to see what we're sort of currently addicted to that we can change?
Or try and implement more pain.
We're working out at the moment, but we could like do a little bit more.
The workouts are pretty easy.
We could do like Pilates. Apparently Pilates is hard. No? Don't want to do that?
No.
We could give up sugar for a month. We
could do that.
Like that would be a tough one.
We don't have that much though. We have one in a coffee.
Well, we used to have quite a bit more, but we ran out of sugar and we made the choice of like not buying another sugar packet or like sugar thing for our morning coffee, and it's been fine.
Other than that, we have like a bit of maple in like maybe some oats or something.
Yeah, it would just be the additive sugar and other things that we would eat.
We don't eat that much of the stuff.
Yeah, besides like a soft drink here or there or
okay,
a little bit.
I feel like bread is probably the biggest one. We all know if someone can get a bit gassy on the gluten.
It's the yeast.
I'm talking about me.
I also do. No, but I could be actually, if we have a loaf of bread, I'll eat it within like 2 days. I can't.
It's a problem.
Yeah, it is. Like as soon as I see the bread, I just gobble it all up.
It's because it's a taste.
It's that carby goodness.
It's taste, mouthfeel. They're all addictive traits. You love all of them. Speaking of tasty, what are we going to review this book? I know last book review we did what our mums thought would rate them. Are we going to go with that again?
Yeah, we'll just think it like think ourselves. Both. Yeah, we can still do our both because it is a look mum. I'm hustling.
I'm thinking a 3 for my mum and me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to speak on her behalf. Three out of five.
I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to do the same. Yeah, so 3 and 3. Like the book did have some interesting parts, but I did find it a bit hard to get through all the way to the end. Like it was
a little bit unbalanced almost.
Yeah. Like the stories were a little bit all over the place. Because then she would start talking about personal experience and then she'll get into the story or follow up of someone else. I'm like, oh, I forgot about this person.
I feel like she can't really give away too much because they're all like patients.
Yeah.
Obviously they have to give their clearance and stuff, but I feel like could have been better stories. Like I learned a bit, but there's like, other than like the basic stuff we covered here in 30 minutes, there's not much more I could tell someone at a dinner party.
No, maybe more, I don't know, maybe more statistics. She didn't really go through numbers very much about her, but she's a Stanford professor. Yeah.
But she has basically done a bunch of probably another 10 hours of, at least 10 hours of podcasts.
100%,
recently promoting the book where you can get way more insight and way more knowledge than what we can provide here in the pod, but
this is just our thoughts on the read-through.
Next book review. Are we going to give it away? I think we're going to do like a book/movie review of June because it'll be out in a couple of weeks here in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
We did go and see James Bond today, so that'll be the next one we see after James Bond. Not the biggest fan.
No, it was okay. Like he's also must be an adrenaline junkie, so I think ties in.
Plenty of pain.
Yeah, definitely. That guy goes through like, just take away everybody he cares about.
Yeah.
Just rip him away. That's James Bond.
All right. So stick around. We'll do June in a couple of weeks for you guys. I'm halfway through the book. I'm very excited to see that. The movie looks amazing. So we'll do a breakdown of that. But make sure you're subscribed to the podcast on Apple Podcast, Spotify, and the video version is also on YouTube. Subscribe there. Give us a comment. 5-star rating would be awesome. Help the podcast get shown to a bunch of other new listeners and get us ranking up in the algorithms. We would really appreciate it because we come up every week with a new topic and I think we're doing pretty good so far.
Yeah, the reviews help out a whole bunch, so we'd really appreciate it if you could leave one.
Uh-huh.
But as always, thank you so much for listening. We are Look Mom Hustling and we'll see you next time.
See you guys.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
See ya.